While I'm up here, what if I were to say to you that I have $1 million in my pocket right now? Would you believe me? What if I told you I have faith in what I say and just believe what I say? I have $1 million in my pocket. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about the faith of men and what can come from it, from in the Bible, because obviously it's not true. I don't have $1 million in my pocket. The Bible gives us so many tremendous examples of men of faith. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 12. And in verse 12, we meet a man that was leprous. And in today's day and age in the United States, we really don't have a reference to what leprosy even looks like, because it's just not here. So I want to change leprosy into what we have called cancer. And leprosy and cancer have something very alike back then and in today's time. It is incurable. Well, cancer, but it comes back. But so starting in verse 12, we read, "While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." So in this passage, we read the exact words of the leprous man: "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." There was no doubt in any of his words. He was full of faith, and for that he was cured, the Bible says, immediately. Now, we're going to read the rest of the chapter, and starting in verse 17, we're going to go ahead and read the other account. And it's the paralytic man that was let down through the roof. Starting in verse 17, "One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you.' The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this man that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasonings in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home.' Immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" So just reading through that passage, I don't know if you caught it or not, but how would your reaction be if Jesus just read your mind? It said that he knew what they were reasoning in their heart. And he says, "Why are you reasoning in your heart?" And he just came out and just said it. I mean, wouldn't you be like, "Whoa, you know, this guy just read my mind"? But anyway, let's focus on the faith of the paralytic's friends. Did the tile roof stop them? No. Did a crowd stop them? No. They didn't have power tools back then, so breaking through the roof would have taken tremendous time and work. They did it because of their faith in Jesus' power, and they knew that Jesus could heal his friend. Another account we will be reviewing of men of great faith is the healing of the Roman centurion's servant. Flip the page over to Luke chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 1. It's Luke 7, verse 1. When he had completed all of his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion's slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And when those who had heard, who had been sent, returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. So in chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, we read about a centurion that just basically says, sends out servants, "I'm not even worthy for you to even talk to you. I'm not even worthy for you to even come into my house." And in the chapter, it says that Jesus marveled. And the word marveled means to be filled with wonder or astonishment. Imagine the Son of God is filled with astonishment because of your faith. And to show the other side of the spectrum of faith with no faith, the last account we will read is men with no faith. And if you will, turn to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 35. And we're going to read all the way to 41. Mark chapter 4, 35. Sorry, in verse 35. "On that day when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go over the other side,' leaving the crowd. They took him along with them in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So in that little story right there, it shows men of no faith, absolutely no faith. They have Jesus, the Son of God, on their boat, and they're so worried about themselves perishing. And in order to grow faith, we must grow our knowledge and relationship in God's word. God is listening and he cares for his creation. God protects his children. Now, I come to you tonight asking, are you like the men on the boat? Once trials and tribulations come, do you have so little faith that you don't think God himself is even going to help you or can help you? And I ask you tonight, are you weak and heavy laden? Once again, God will comfort you and give you rest. He cares. And I want to ask you tonight, are you baptized? Jesus says that if you confess him before men, he will confess you before the angels of God in heaven. Do not walk out of this door unprepared for all those looking to be baptized. For all of you looking to be baptized, you must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Believe the gospel, John 20:30-31. Repent, Luke 13:3. Confess, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized, Acts 2:38. Live faithfully, Revelation 2:10. And now, if you do drive home tonight, you're not guaranteed any more time. If you do perish on your way home, we will all stand before Jesus and give account for what we've all done. And what will your excuse be if you're not baptized or even saved from your sins? It's not going to be a very good one. So if you need the prayers of this church, or you just really need, it's just dragging you down and you just need to be baptized right now, please come together as we stand and sing.